You're listening to Dine to Learn More with Trevor and Laura. Dine to Learn More is where we talk about death and bereavement to deepen our understanding of this inevitable part of life.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Laura Sallyman.
And I'm Trevor Josephson, and this is the Dine to Learn More podcast. And we are privileged to be joined here today by our colleague, Lee Kankowit, who is a registered clinical counselor. Lee, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we have asked you to be here today because we have a very interesting topic that we would like you to fill us in on and from a perspective of your professional experience. We're talking today about trauma, aren't we?
Yes, and specifically traumatic grief and how it impacts the body and our nervous system.
Wow, that sounds like a big topic.
This does sound like a big topic. So first I want to ask, I hear the word trauma now. It's said a lot about a lot of things. So maybe could you give us a definition from a counseling perspective of trauma?
Okay. Trevor, you can help me out after. This, I have it written down. So it says, trauma is a natural part of life, as almost everyone will experience what is considered a traumatic event. Or events, multiple events in their life. So it can be one specific event or it could be several that occur. And in the counseling world, we kind of say there's big T's or little T's.
Okay.
And little T's might be, I don't know.
What are some examples? Well, what would you say just as a general example of little T's?
Well, because trauma is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the person. So a little T could be just, I don't know, you got embarrassed at school and the teacher yelled at you or you got called out. Mm-hmm. But that could also, it depends. Can you think an example of
That makes sense. I think the big T traumas are those that impact a person's daily functioning perhaps.
Yes.
Or, you know, it causes sleep disturbance or appetite disturbance, those sorts of things where there might be some symptomology associated with that. Do you think, Lee, would that be fair to
like
say?
Like really big events. So, and in grief, we work in grief, so that would be like a traumatic loss or witnessing something like really scary.
So like episodes off of Grey's Anatomy are the big T's.
Exactly.
Okay. So I've also heard around the office people talking about traumatic loss and traumatic response. And I think our listeners are like me going, what are those and what's the difference?
Well, so I would say, so a traumatic loss is the nature of the death. So it could be something sudden. It's often something sudden and or out of sync with the natural order of life. So perhaps like a child dying or a teenager losing their parent, someone losing their parent earlier in life. And then a traumatic response is based on the nervous system reaction like we talked about, which can happen dependent on the loss. So you can have a traumatic response, even if maybe the loss isn't considered traumatic.
Okay.
Or even if a traumatic, what we consider traumatic loss, someone might not always have a traumatic response.
Okay.
So that sort of, did that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. I think what I'm seeing here, we're stretching this out, aren't we? This whole concept of trauma to the point where, is anyone going to get through life without experiencing trauma, whether it's a little T or a big T, right? I think it's kind of important to acknowledge that to live life is a traumatic experience at different points along one's life, one way or another.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So to kind of further go into this, Lee, about what happens for a person if they're experiencing trauma?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you kind of already touched on it, how it starts impacting daily functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be often, I have clients who would explain it like all of a sudden you're living in a dream So some disassociation. So you might feel like life's not real right now.
Mm-hmm.
It can impact sleep. It impacts your appetite. It can impact people. Sometimes people can't even drive a car.
Right.
They can't even function. And then a lot of times you're asked to do a lot of things after a loss, like deal with estate stuff and do mm-hmm. high functioning things, and people can't even think straight.
So a lot of this stuff is happening in a person's body.
That's
by the
right.
sounds of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very physiological.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they don't even have words for what's happening in the beginning because it's such a physical response.
Right.
So it's the whole nervous system and it's our alarm system. So it's something's interrupted our safety. So it's fight, flight, freeze, all of that kicks in.
Because it's connected to survival. And I guess if that's what it's, if it's triggering that
mm-hmm.
survival response system, that's how we're experiencing it in our body, to something that's activated to help us to survive a perceived threat, an actual threat maybe
yes.
that happened in the past, perhaps,
yeah.
maybe to ourselves or to someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's the trauma. It's a threat to our safety and our survival.
Wow.
And then the other piece that's connected to that is it's our attachment. So often the physical response depends on our attachment to that person,
mm.
which is why the loss can differ. But if we were attached to that person, so they were, I've heard clients explain that person as their rock or their person.
Okay.
That's who they depend on for their survival in our bodies and our brains, because we're creatures of connection and community. We wire to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So when that person is no longer there, all of a sudden that alarm system goes off, that survival, that... who's going to take care of me? And sometimes irrational thoughts come in, like I'm going to end up homeless or I'm going to die
mm-hmm.
alone and no one's going to find me for 10 days. That type of
mm.
thinking.
Well, and we've spoken on past episodes, Trevor, about that sense of connection and how
mm-hmm.
we've talked about it almost being like a cord. And when that's severed, the cord's almost like an electrical cord just whipping around wildly
mm-hmm.
and it feels very out of control. And so now you're hearing this maybe traumatic response that
mm-hmm.
kind of makes sense as well.
Yeah,
we're connecting these concepts together, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Grief, loss, trauma,
mm-hmm.
attachment,
yeah.
they're all integrated.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is why it's such a big topic,
mm-hmm.
because there's many layers and factors involved.
But it's interestingly how you're highlighting the attachment aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
and a person who's close to us, if we lose them, that could trigger. It can. It doesn't always.
Yes.
Right? But it might to some degree, maybe
mm-hmm.
more depending on the circumstances. But
mm-hmm.
but I think we're also considering that it could also be triggered just because someone, maybe it wasn't even someone that we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was just someone in our community
mm-hmm.
or someone that we were kind of lightly affiliated
mm-hmm.
with, but from a distance. But that could that still trigger the trauma response?
Yes, because you're touching on like either a community or global disaster or trauma. So that can impact your sense of safety. So
mm-hmm.
I'm no longer safe, or I saw something happen, like an accident, or so it can throw you into almost an existential crisis in that threat of, oh, we're not safe. So it's anything that activates that nervous system response.
And it could be in response to a previous event that you went through. So you see
mm-hmm.
something happen and maybe you don't feel anything, but it's triggering a memory, and therefore your body responds to that memory
mm-hmm.
from something that happened previously.
Yeah. So there's two things.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about this. We always go through a history of losses often,
mm-hmm.
or because often those losses will come up again. And maybe there was a previous traumatic loss and the new loss isn't necessarily traumatic, but because you have that experience, it's compounded. And then the other factor is if you have a previous history of anxiety or depression or what's considered any kind of mental health. I'm trying to think of the best word because we don't like to pathologize, but
mm-hmm.
if you've struggled in the past and then you experience a loss, that can also be reactivated.
So it sounds like trauma doesn't stick to a timeline, then, does it? It can pop up and link back to something from the past and re-trigger as if... Is that what I hear people say? Like it's like it's happening now? It's like they're re-experiencing their trauma?
Yeah, because that's the theory that it lives in the body. So the body remembers. So it's like you can't help it. That's where it's physiological. It's beyond you. You can't help it. So yeah, if it's re-triggered, it just comes up again. It's as if you're living it right then and there.
I always think of our body, like once it learns a response, it likes to do that over and over again.
Right.
So years ago, my daughter, she wasn't feeling well and she fainted. And she hit her head on the side of the tub. We had to go to the hospital, all this stuff. However, they weren't actually concerned about that. The neurologist was saying she fainted because she wasn't feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And the chance of her fainting now, the next time she's not feeling, goes up like exponentially. Mm-hmm. And then once her body learns this response, it's going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
She's going to be one of those women from the 1800s who faint over the slightest thing.
Right.
And so he said, for that one, it was an interesting diagnosis, potato chips, because of the salt. The salt stops, kind of stops. But him and I were talking, and I remember saying, oh, it's like a learned response. And the same with women going through childbirth. The first one is the body learning to do it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, your body learns it, and it's like better at it. And every time, if you have multiple births, it's better and better and better, which is an interesting thing. So I'm guessing that trauma does the same thing for our bodies. We learn a response.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep doing those, especially if the triggers, I guess, are there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because it's how your brain and your nervous system wires. And especially if the traumas happen earlier in life, like that's your formative years. So you grew up with that nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you work with it? Because
it's this formed. Is your normal. You're so young, you don't know that maybe this isn't anybody else's normal, but it is your normal.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a really complicated system at work here, isn't there? But we're talking about a biochemical system at play. Yeah. So just kind of what Laura was just sharing here. Is this a way of treatment then that we'd be talking about here? You use the word rewiring.
Yeah. Well, we try.
What do you mean
it's
by that?
It's a process.
Are you also an electrician?
Yeah. So I guess I share this, because I used to do massage therapy and I taught yoga for many, many years. So I kind of orient towards a body approach. So in the beginning, sometimes people can't put words necessarily or sit in their body. So I'm going to use a recent example, I guess, I do this a lot. So we use, mindfulness, and we use tactile, there's a theory, it's like touch, sight, smell, all your senses.
Mm.
What did I say? Touch? I get
sight, smell.
Sound, smell, taste.
Mm.
So with trauma or like traumatic grief, it's really hard to sit in your body because your nervous system is on fire, basically, is a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And or you're just not even in your body. That's where you get the disassociated state. So it's really hard to just tell someone to do some of the tools. Maybe they used to meditate or they have tools, but all of a sudden those tools don't work. They're not working because the wound or the trauma of the loss is so big that they can't even sit in their body. So there's a lot of panic, a lot of those really big, big feelings, big fears. So what they need is tactile, concrete methods. So for example, with touch, you would use like a blanket or weighted blankets, things that you can touch, things that you can see. So like sensory toys are really good.
So what Lee's doing here is this is pretty cool. It's like one of those snow globes, but it's two diamonds that are joined together into an hourglass kind of shape.
Yeah, so they'll play with this.
Glitter.
Yeah, so they'll play with this while they're talking, or they'll have something. Yeah, so it's like something to look at and play with in the hands.
Mm-hmm.
You can use objects from nature like rocks or leaves or, and then smells really good. So having some type of aromatherapy, or it could be food.
Right.
So you could have tea, even like peppermint tea. So having all of those sensory
options
while they're talking kind of helps them drop into the body and feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then often if you're in an anxious state or the panic, because the nervous system is on fire, it's really hard to connect with sometimes the sadness because it's so big.
Right.
So once you kind of get, the nervous system has to relax first to contain that level of sadness to be felt. So that's the goal with the sensory stuff. And you need to build a container of safety so that the body feels safe. So once they drop into that safety and the nervous system kind of calms, then you'll get the tears.
Wow.
And the, yeah.
So it sounds like, I like container of safety.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what counselors aim to do in a session, right? Mm-hmm. Make this is a space of safety.
Yeah, we're like, we're helping them regulate their nervous system because they can't do it on their own. Yet. In that heightened state yet.
Yes. And once they're in that state, then they're able to be open to the grief, the trauma that they're experiencing.
Yeah.
They're able to hold that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And then further down the line, once that container's built and they have that tool and they can sit with it and feel safe, that's when down the line, they'll be able to do it on their own and or come to some of the other groups like the mindfulness group or
so they're just a little step further in learning how to navigate this like you saying holding this pain
it's
a lot to hold. I guess otherwise it's the fight or flight that happens. I mean something reminds them, triggers that memory of the traumatic experience, the grief, the loss.
Yeah.
And then immediately the system kicks in, that survival system kicks in, and they go into fight or flight or freeze.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you give me some examples of fight or flight or freeze?
Mm-hmm. So that would be, sometimes it's pretty severe. People have panic, panic attacks. So that would be almost like a flight out.
Right.
Some people have even had to go to the hospital sometimes, or they think they're having a heart attack.
But it's scary for people when that happens.
It's really scary. Yeah. And you'll often hear people say, well, I was so rash. I'm usually a really rational person. I'm a business owner. I do all these things. Mm-hmm. So it's even scary for them because it's something so out of control, so much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's scary and they feel like they're going crazy or or something's wrong with them. So often a big part of what we do with trauma as well is a lot of normalization and validation that their experience is normal for what they went through, what they're going through.
I was going to say, and Trevor said it at the beginning, that like life is going through these things.
Right.
And I think that was a very good point. I think we think, well, I wouldn't go through those, that's not me. What's wrong with me? I'm feeling this way and I don't understand it. But actually, we're all going to go through different experiences in life. And we're unfortunately going to feel these things.
Yeah.
But, being a little more aware of it and knowing that it's normal and other people go through it.
Well, that's it. The irony of this whole trauma response system is that when it's happening, it's actually our system doing what it's supposed to do.
Right.
Right? It's like it's actually working.
Yeah.
It's functioning the way it's supposed. It's just that it becomes extremely inconvenient, to say the least.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and that's a good point, because our society doesn't really set us up for a place to fall apart.
Right.
So if you fall into that category, you know, you might need a significant amount of time off work. And that's just not, you know, sort of socially acceptable. And then there's other people who just, you know, grieve and they go right back to work, or they're fine, or it's a different circumstance. So there can be a lot of self-judgment and blame when they are struggling so much.
And the pace of our world. I've always said to families and patients at hospice that everything keeps spinning, and you're sort of, your life is on pause, but everyone else is play. So they're going, and so when you're ready maybe to press play and take a step, it feels like a merry-go-round. It's just, how do I get on this thing? Like, it's hard to get back on, and that's, it's scary, and you don't want to jump back in and spin that fast. You maybe want to crawl. Maybe you want to just a slow entry, and it's not, like you said, our world isn't, society's not easily set up to do that.
That's right. Especially for our teens who have to go to school and they have all that pressure.
Yeah.
And if they get hit with a big, a big T loss, it can really, it can be hard to keep up with that academic pressure.
For sure. Wow, this has been extremely informative. Lee, thank you so much for sharing your information and expertise and knowledge about something that is, it impacts everybody, you know, in life as we're talking about it. But I think we just kind of scratched the surface here.
That's what I was thinking, Trevor. I think we're going to have a, we're going to need to do a few more episodes further in trauma, grief, and different types of loss in this, because it's a lot.
It's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lee, for coming and sharing your insights.
Thanks
for having me.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being open to learning more about death and grief. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing on our website and by following us on Instagram and Facebook.